And so the EFCC has been in the news for some of the very good reasons. I mean, most recently, you heard that over 30 billion naira was recovered by the commission from the corruption activities that was surrounding the suspended accountant general of the federation. That's just amongst the many. Also, you know that the EFCC has said a few governors are being investigated with regards to how they get funds for campaigns and elections, which basically would form our conversation for this morning. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. And you can get on social media to watch us live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Again, Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. We have had this conversation over and over again. Many questions have been raised on who and how should we monitor election funding. So, many questions around how are political parties going to fund their campaigns? Who is monitoring the source of funding? The EFCC comes to mind when you bring all of this up. Because, yes, it has that responsibility to ensure that monies that political parties and their candidates use in running their elections are not ill-gotten, or monies that are gotten from corrupt means, and everybody has a level playing field, and these monies are actually coming from what many would call within the laws. So, on Facebook, we have a question for you. Is the EFCC doing enough to monitor funds used during elections? That's a big question that needs answers and would need to know your thoughts about it. Is the EFCC doing enough to monitor funds used during elections? Share your thoughts with us. Let's know at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. Our guest this morning is the EFCC spokesperson, Wilson Owojare, who will be joining us via telephone and will be giving us an update as to activities of the commission with regards to how it intends to tackle some of these problems and what it is doing thus far with ensuring that the elections do not become completely monetized. As much as you would want to try, you know that you cannot completely eradicate this problem. But what is the commission doing is what we're going to find out. We now go over to our guest who's speaking to us via telephone this morning. He's the spokesperson of the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. Hello, Mr. Wilson Owojare. You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
We wouldn't want to take much of your time as we do not have a lot of that at the moment. So we cut to the chase. The commission has recorded quite a lot of success. I mean, the chairman of the commission was reeling out some achievements and monies recovered thus far, and how the commission is continuing to press and fight against financial crimes. But many on the lips of Nigerians, and I'm sure the minds of Nigerians, is also to find out what role the commission would play and how the commission intends to play that role in this election with regards to monitoring funds that are being used by political parties, their candidates, to sponsor campaigns and all of those. If you don't mind sharing with us, how is the EFCC going to tackle that problem to ensure that the funds that would be used are monitored and we do not have governors of states or parties and candidates, you know, using funds or laundered funds for campaigns?
Well, I think what is most important at this point in time is to for the EFCC to reassure Nigerians that the agency will ensure that illicit funds don't find their way into the electoral process. How we are going to do that, not something I can come on radio to share with Nigerians, because that will be revealing our secret in terms of how we track funds. I don't need to disclose that, but I can assure you that wherever those kind of illicit funds are coming in, we would track them, and those who are responsible definitely will be arrested. If you recall, in the most recent elections, Kiti and Tuesday, the commission was actively involved, and we ensure that at least massive movement of funds was not witnessed. What probably appeared at was exchange of cash, 10,000, 5,000. Those ones are not really what we are really concerned about. Huge funds movement. That's what the commission is actually charged with. And we have set several machineries in motion to ensure that the 2023 general election, as much as possible, will actually limit the movement of illicit funds into the electoral process.
There have been reports on the news of lawmakers, aspiring lawmakers, candidates of political parties who were apprehended with large amounts of cash on transit. That's just many, a few of the many that that's out there in the news. If you don't mind sharing with us, yes, you might not want to share the tactics, but then the chairman of the commission also talked about the commission looking at certain governors that could be laundering funds and using these funds to finance campaigns. Can you shed more light on that for us to understand the governors involved, or which states involved, or what exactly is the picture like?
The chairman mentioned the fact that a number of governors are under watch, and he also did not disclose their identity, just as you mentioned. And I'm not also going to do that here, because that is premature to do that. The issues are still under investigation. I can't make disclosure of the identities of the governors involved or that date. But rest assured that the commission is doing something about that. That at the appropriate time, make the because of our investigation topic. That may be at the stage of investigation. Gets to that.
Right, Mr. Ujaran, Rivers State is a very particular state when you bring topics about elections, and the candidates of the PDP in Rivers State has come up at different times whenever you mention the EFCC. What is this conditional? What is this state? What is the issue between the candidate of the PDP in Rivers State and the EFCC? There was also reports of an altercation, if you remember, some time ago, earlier in the year, at the airport here in Port Harcourt. If you don't mind telling us about that particular issue with the candidate of the PDP, because some people still feel that he has questions to answer with the EFCC. Other camps don't believe that he does. What is the EFCC's position on that?
I don't think I'll be focusing on particular candidates in the build-up to the general election. As a commission, we are also conscious of the environment in which we operate. Any disclosure that I will make at this point in time may be misinterpreted to mean that the commission is after a particular political party. So we are mindful of that, which may not allow me to make any categorical statement about any candidate. Having said that, the issue about who we are investigating or who we are not investigating in Rivers State is already in public domain. Everybody knows that. I don't have to start repeating that here. But I don't want to go further than that, because any comments I will make now could be misinterpreted.
All right, but then if you can clarify for us, because in public domain, the idea is that the candidate of the PDP has certain questions to answer. That's what's in public domain. So if you can speak on what's public domain or confirm for us, because we also have other people who say...
I think I'm very clear what I said. I said, based on what is happening now, we are in the field of the general election. Comments I will make now will be interpreted to mean that we are against a particular party. So I will just clear your indulgence to... Excuse me, I can't
okay.
put a comment on that.
All right. And then speak to us about the new CBN policy, because for many people, they think it's a welcome development and could help curb the illicit flow of funds. How is that going to help the EFCC in its fight against financial corruption?
Well, it's a welcome development as far as we are concerned. The CBN has already stated the objective of the exercise, which is to bring most of the currencies that are out in the outside of the financial system back into the system, and then they'll be able to properly discharge their mandate in terms of monetary policy implementation and all that. But for us in the ESCC, the beauty of having all these currencies that are floating outside of the banking system, outside of the financial system, back into the system, is to ensure that we are properly able to track the movement of funds. And with the beauty of the policy that the central bank has shown us in terms of limits of what you can take out in terms of cash, it mandates us now to conduct our financial dealing through the banking system, either online or physically. And whatever transaction you make online through the system is something that can be traced. And when that happens, if huge funds are involved, there are laws concerning the reporting of currency transactions by money deposit banks. And when such funds are after a certain threshold, they are supposed to report to the ESCC. But the beauty is that once this everything comes into the system, such reporting will happen. And when we suspect that there's something fishy about transactions, we can begin to ask questions. But when you have the bulk of the nation's currency outside the financial system, you are not able to monitor how except you get intelligence about huge cash movement. But once they are within the system and payments are made within the banking system, it is easy to trace and track such transactions.
Well, many believe that the policy, although might seem fair, but doesn't carry the interest of the ordinary Nigerian. And some people think it's targeted at some of the wealthy individuals and has a coloration of politics all over it, especially if we look at the elections that's just around the corner. For you, do you see that sort of, do you share that sort of opinion, or what's your position as to what public is saying about that policy? You think it's a lot to do with the election, or just something that's more economical?
So, the comment I just made, I didn't talk say anything about the election. The policy that the central bank came out with, they stated the objective of the design policy, and I didn't see anything about the election in that policy document. It's all about bringing the currency back into the financial system to enable the CBN actually monitor the use of money and all that. It's not about, I don't think it's about election. The focus is not really about election. I don't think CBN is focusing as a myopic aspect in terms of their policy. It's a well-considered policy, which I believe most stakeholders within the economy were actually involved in that policy. And all I think Nigerians should do now is to give the central bank the support to make sure that the policy succeeds. We are all very concerned about the value of the Naira. You recall that few weeks ago, the Naira hit a long bottom of almost 900 Naira to a dollar. Until the USD stepped in and something, we have now a measure of improvement in terms of value of currency. So any measure that can help the CBN manage the currency and that the value of the Naira improves is something that will benefit the economy and benefit the general sovereign. So it's something that we all need to support. Policy, no matter how well thought out, we have one of the areas that will be of concern. But I'm sure that those who came up with that idea have the collective interest of the attack planning that policy.
All right. But then there were also complaints that came up when I think especially the nation's capital, reports were flowing around that operatives of the commission were going after Bureau de Change operators in Abuja mostly. And that raised concerns for certain people. Can you give us an insight as to what prompted that action? And was it that the people were operating illegally? What exactly was behind the idea for operatives of the commission to clamp down on some Bureau de Change operators at the time?
Part of the mandate of the ESCC is to fight economic sabotage. When there are overt actions by some players within the economy to frustrate the policy of government or to undermine the economy, the commission has the mandate to move against such such interest. And that is exactly what happened soon after that Naira redesign policy was announced. There was a lot of speculation between the parallel markets sub-segment of the forex market, and it became necessary for the Commission to take measures to ensure that those who were doing illegal speculation, dangerous to the health of the Nigerian economy, were checked. And they carried out a series of raids, I would call it, in Abuja, Lagos, and some other places. And the result was quite phenomenal.
Okay. We have a very short commercial coming in the next few minutes. And when we return from that commercial, we have one more question for you to respond to before we allow you to continue with your very busy day. And that would have to do with the fight against internet fraud by the EFCC and its operatives. A lot has been happening with regards to that, especially in Rivers State. But the worry has been the mode in which some of these operations are being carried out. It has raised questions, not just in Rivers State. Delta State has been protest in parts of Delta State. In Edo State, there's been also complaints about it. So when we return after the break, we'd have you share with us the way the EFCC is looking at tackling internet fraud and how it's also observing human rights while it's doing that. So if you don't mind, please just stay on the line for us for a few minutes. All right, thank you very much. It's still Nigeria Info, and you're having a conversation with the EFCC spokesperson, Wilson Owujare. I'm pretty sure you've heard quite a lot and you have a lot to say as well. So yes, get on WhatsApp 0809-0306-416. Do well to send us your questions and your messages. Also, we are live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Join the conversation. We'll be right back.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, we're back and live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Be a part of the conversation. My guest has been the spokesperson of the EFCC, Wilson Owujare. We've been looking at the EFCC and how it intends to tackle financial crime of different forms, not just in the elections, but also, importantly, we've talked about the issue of internet fraud, which would be a next question for my guest. You can be a part of the conversation also on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. Don't forget, the question on Facebook is, the EFCC doing enough to monitor funds used during elections? That's the question we're asking you. Share your opinion with us at Nigeria Info PH on Twitter and on Facebook. We'll go over to my guest. Thank you for being very patient and waiting on the line for us, Mr. Owujare. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, just so we wrap up in time, the issue of internet fraud has been one that has brought up a lot of conversations in recent times. And in different parts of the country, we've seen operatives of the EFCC trying to do the best that they can to curtail this particular form of crime. Now, many have questioned the mode in which operatives, some operatives of the Commission, go about carrying this duty. If you can tell us, is the Commission aware of every single operation that's carried out with regards to how its personnel, you know, tackle this problem of internet fraud?
Well, I would say yes. Every operation carried out by operatives of the Commission is approved by the relevant authority, either in headquarters or across the zonal command. But I think I should also point out, because I've heard a few reports, especially from that Port Harcourt asset, about some people wearing the EFCC branded jacket and they're stopping vehicles on the road and asking for people to bring their phone. if you file such thing, know that those ones are not from the EFCC because we don't do stop and search as a commission. So I think members of the public should be aware of that. You can never see a genuine officer of the commission coming to the road to come and stop vehicle and asking you to bring your phone and that they're looking for Yahoo Yahoo Boys. No, that is not part of our modus operandi. Having said that, I think what is really worrisome for us as a commission is the number of young people, especially undergraduates in university, polytechnics, that are involved in cybercrime. Up to when you talk about Yahoo Yahoo, people tend to justify that, look, there is no job, people are leaving school and they are not employed. What do you expect all these young people to do? That is the reason why they are involved in cybercrime. But our experience suggests otherwise, because most of those who are actually involved in Yahoo Yahoo are students in higher institutions, people who are still collecting money from their parents. So they are not employed, unemployed per se. So what we have on our hands is really a program of engagement of our values in which people want to get rich by all means. And then when they stumble on this meeting form, no questions are asked. Instead of people to ask questions, they are celebrated as wealthy people in town. They buy cars, people don't ask questions. They wear designer clothes, people don't ask questions. They even give money to their parents. And now you have people protesting that, why are you disturbing us? You should leave us to continue to do what we are doing. But we don't appreciate the fact that this money that they are spending are actually money that belongs to some people in other countries.
Right.
So it's important for us to recognize the fact that we have a huge problem.
Sorry, the fact that,
we need to deal with and which EFCC is dealing with.
Right.
But the other issue that you raise is people raising questions like, okay, how do we operate? Sometimes we go to people's houses, we say we break down doors and all that.
Mm.
But they don't appreciate the fact that cyber crime is a unique type of crime. For a Yahoo Yahoo boy, you cannot write a letter to invite him to say, come to our office, have information, we want to interview you. Such person, you will never see the person again. So most of these investigations are based on intelligence.
It brings me, sorry to interrupt you, but...
They are preceded by weeks of surveillance before those exercises are carried out.
Okay.
Most times, we don't get it wrong. We usually arrest those that we are set out to arrest.
Okay.
But in the course of carrying out that arrest, maybe once in a while, the wrong person or the wrong house might come and visit there, which happens everywhere.
Okay.
And when that happens, it's overblown by the media, see that is...
But then emphasis on cybercrime. You called it cybercrime, which is emphasis on cybercrime. And many would expect that first, the approach to tackling cybercrime would be from cyberspace, like it's done in many advanced countries. I mean, we heard the popular story of Hush Puppy and how in Dubai, the police and working together were able to track down and do all of their jobs. But then when you bring that down to our own country, and let's say River State, for instance, I've seen where men from the commission, said to be men from the commission, come through the fence, jump into a compound, break people's doors, arrest everybody in the compound, and begin to collect money from people to go. I've been a victim myself, so I'm telling you my own experience now where that happened to me. And you see these things, and people are taken to the offices. And then, of course, with the manner in which the EFCC operates, it's even difficult to go to an EFCC office and see whoever was arrested. You have to tell you to make calls, call this person to help you, and all of that. What is the commission really doing to ensure sanity in its system and see that officers who tend to do these sort of things and paint the commission bad are punished?
Thank you very much for that question. You said you have been arrested and taken to the EFCC.
For me, I didn't get to go to the EFCC. I think after I was arrested. I said people have, and I've visited there. It's difficult, but I have been arrested because my compound was once raided, and then I didn't pay any money. I refused to pay money, even if I was slapped. I didn't pay any money.
It's important. You are a media person. It's important for you to convey the proper information about an institution.
And that's what I'm doing.
We don't need to create wrong impression of an institution because you want to score a point. Say exactly what happened.
And that's what I just told you. I was assaulted. I was slapped. I was slapped. I was assaulted. I didn't because I didn't. I said I wasn't paying any money. And what did I do? Why would you barge into? Why would you come to the house and you're picking people and you see me and you pick me along because of maybe what I'm wearing or the phone I'm using? And you're asking me to open my phone and I'm saying I'm not opening my phone and then I'm being intimidated and harassed. That was exactly what happened.
That was not what you said. The first time you said was that you went there and paid money and you were allowed to go.
No. I think maybe you didn't get my I said there are people who have been taken there and we are visited and seen.
Allow me to answer now.
Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned the issue of Hush Puppy that the investigation was on cyberspace. Mm-hmm. Was he not arrested?
Yes, he was.
Was it on cyberspace that he was arrested?
No, not at all.
So every operation carried out by EFCC is preceded by investigation. We don't just wake up. The house that you came that you were arrested, was that the only house in Port Harcourt? Before operative of the commission set out for any exercise, there must have been a preliminary investigation, weeks of surveillance that employs the location of possible suspects. And when you go there, you arrest. The fact that you went to a place and arrested more than those who you targeted does not mean that those who probably were innocent, that you took them along, is not an offense. You do screen, and if they don't have anything on them, you allow them to go. But you have gotten those.
But when you do it that way, then the question comes: did you really track the person? Because you have said earlier that the EFCC tracks and that online, and so you track and get information. So you now know exactly who you are going for. So why not go to the place, pick who you are there to pick, and leave instead of involving other people who may not even be part of the process or who didn't know anything at all?
Cybercrime is not a one-man offense. You cannot. A single person cannot successfully execute a cybercrime movement. It usually happens in a syndicate, a group. And when you make that arrest and you collect people around, we do what we call screening. If I arrest you today, take you to our office, and after the screening, nothing is found on you and you're allowed to go, you have not violated your rights.
So the EFCC randomly arrests people from where it goes to and then it does screening? Is that what you're implying? Is that what happens?
Gentlemen, I don't think we need to be dragging this issue, but I just told you, look, you made a first thing in the first time, the first instance that you were taken to the ESCC and you paid money to be a reason, which was not it.
No, clearly I think you misunderstood what I said.
You have rejected that.
I think you misunderstood what I said. But we were talking about people that have been taken there that we are aware of who were paid monies.
Better end the interview.
I think I'm trying to clarify for you so you understand. We're not arguing.
You're not allowing me to speak now.
Go ahead. Mr. Wujaran, you can go on.
Please, if you don't want the interview, just end it. But I don't want to go back and forth.
We're not going back and forth. Go on. So tell us.
I was telling you, cybercrime is an offense that usually happens in a syndicate, in a group. And before the commission sets out to do any operations, it's preceded by investigation. Investigations are carried out, surveillance are carried out before they go to a location to effect arrest. If in the course of that arrest you have a group of people going around the suspect and you arrest all of them, take them to the office and you do screening. Those that have no connection with the professor are allowed to return back home. But the culprits, you take them and then present them. Those that really have substantial issues are taken to court and convicted. I can't see anybody that you are taking to court, for instance, on cybercrime that comes out to see you didn't know anything about the person for which you was arrested. But the issue that I want Nigerians to really understand is that cybercrime is a peculiar type of crime. It's not like grand corruption, in which only the perpetrators are well known in society, that you invite them to come to your office, you interview them, release them on bail, and then the investigation continues. Once they have anything, they are under investigation, they run away. And those who are protesting, those you claim to
to believe that we are balancing their lives, who were protesting. They were not protesting because they were innocent. What they were simply protesting about was that they are disturbing their lives, that they want to continue the act of criminality. That is the reason why the society needs to rally around the years. We have a problem here. But most of you, the way you talk now, you are on the other side, believe that they are doing the right thing by defrauding other people.
Now, when you put that, you're painting that wrong image. The idea is, in as much as we want the EFCC to do a perfect job, we also want human rights to be properly observed, and people accorded their rights. That's the point we're making. Rights should be respected while carrying out official duty. Now, we also have the problem of some businesses, fraudulent businesses, people who set up companies, people that, for instance, real estate companies have come into the mix a lot of the times. We have some that are really fraudulent. Is that within the purview of the EFCC as well to tackle these fraudulent organizations and companies?
I don't know the format organization that you're talking about. If you have any particular organization that you want to talk about, you can mention it.
Well, we know that there have been reports of real estate companies and that have had issues, investment companies as well, several of them that have had issues in the past, and monies were collected from Nigerians. Is that something that EFCC is also saddled with the responsibility of investigating or looking into?
We are operating from Port Harcourt. Now, there are so many investment organizations that the commission has investigated. Number of them are also cases are going on in court. I'm sure you are pulling up these cases.
Okay.
In court. It's quite prevalent in your area there. And the commission is dealing with it.
All right. Well, I think it's prevalent everywhere, not just in Port Harcourt. But thank you very much, Wilson Ujari, for your time on the show this morning.
Thank you. But I want you to change your perception. If you are not involved in cybercrime, need to support what the commission is doing because we have a problem.
Well, our only purpose is to ensure that the EFCC does a wonderful job to tackle crime, but at the same time ensure that it respects human rights. Thank you very much and have a lovely morning. Mr. Wujari, the spokesperson of the EFCC. Quickly, we'll just open the phone lines and get a few of your reactions before we wrap things up on the show this morning. I'm sure you heard a few things that were said by the spokesperson of the commission. The number to call is 070-0923-0923. 070-0923-0923. That's the number to call if you want to be a part of the conversation this morning. We really don't have a lot of time, so we'll try as much as possible to go through the calls as quickly as possible and take the messages as well as quickly as we can. Unfortunately, we couldn't talk about everything. I hoped we would have been able to touch on the money's been recovered because not all of that has been recovered, but time will not allow us. On WhatsApp, this one says, the spokesperson doesn't have a good idea on cybercrime. It's a shame. Well, you heard the operations and how the EFCC operates. He gave an idea about it. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Ikemi.
Yes, you're welcome. Good morning.
Yeah, my name is Comrade Letan Barry Sunday, President of the Time and Tone for River
Right, quickly,
Corpus, calling from Bori.
Straight to the point, quickly.
Yes, as we got to your interaction with the EFCC spokesperson, I think there are some questions that he has been able to dodge, which the public were expecting to get as in more details as regards to what is happening in River State, mostly the level of money changing hands or River's phone being looted in River State. I was really devastated for not getting what I need to get. But however, I see that the EFCC too is trying to dodge some certain responsibility. If they know they don't have what it takes to take care of the money being looted in River State, they should forget about River State. I know what they focus on here is the cyber crime. But for the fact that they cannot give us any details as regard to the candidates that are owing reverse form, using reverse form to campaign and do other things that a civil servant has not been paid for some time now. And I was expecting a bit concerned to that question you were asking. However, it turned out to be personal as if you are against him based on one reason or the other you try to raise. That is not the way to attend to public hearing.
All right.
Please, whenever he's going to come up, he should be able to put himself in order and
thank you. Later, Barry. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Later, Barry. Hello, Nigeria. In for good morning.
Good morning, Efemiando.
You're welcome.
I think you really started in that argument for me. I fumble for you. And even the EFC test increase, also intelligent to that extent. But my worry is the way and manner they invade people's houses. Within Nigeria, Alakaya and Co., where students are living, we have raised a question concerning that effect. But directly, as it happened to you, the students are here and they are doing their own thing. I don't know at what point these people are coming around to investigate the students, going to their lodges, arresting people, beating them up. And I also listened to him clearly when he said that they really don't have that kind of operation. So it means that there are those who are now beginning to a kind of impersonate the ESCC. They have to also look at that issue of impersonation. We have people who take cars and be coming into community.
All right, we have to interrupt you. Thank you very much. But time already out of our hands. We have a special program coming up now. You can watch the rest of the conversation on Facebook. Thank you very much. My name is Ifeanyi Andrew.